I wish I would have bought like Zoom,
Charmin,
Zoom Charmin, and what's the other one? Like Lysol stock. You know what I mean? Like,
tell me about it.
Yo, 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 everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Random Encounters. We are here bringing you short interviews with some good friends of mine who do amazing things in their fields. Thank you for listening to last week's episode, which was part two of our Kenny Omega chat. He was awesome. And here's another from a spectacular athlete, Claudio, or you may know him better as Cesaro, the Swiss Superman of WWE, is my guest. We get to talk for like 40 minutes about all types of good stuff, mostly video games, but that seems to be the way a lot of my chats go, but I don't have a problem with that, and hopefully you don't either. Thank you for tuning in wherever you get it, Spotify, Apple, anywhere, but Anchor is what helps me to make this podcast, so I want to shout them out. Make sure you're liking it, subscribing, following, and doing all those things. Also, quick announcement, this Wednesday, Microphone Misfits, Chicago's own super rap group, will be playing with me on Random House Studios. We'll be doing a live set this Wednesday, the 15th, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, and that's very specific with that time. Also, check out my continued episodes. I do them every week, and I'm going to be playing some special songs during this set. I'll be DJing as well as playing some tracks from the upcoming Black Materia remake and Forever Famicom anniversary. 2010 and 2011 are probably the two biggest years of my career. And this is really the only time I can revisit them is in 2010 and 2011. So we're gonna do that. Shout out to everybody who was at last week's show. Mountain Nerdcore has returned, and it'll come back again, but with a different name, one that is not offensive to our Native American brothers. So enjoy our chat with Cesaro.
We're supposed to be in like flying cars by now. This is the opposite of what I thought 2020 would be.
Well, it is really, really interesting because, you know, I feel like everything has been kind of the back to the roots thing, right? With like, like, I don't know, I just noticed when I used to, well, now it's not anymore, but I traveled, it's always, you know, like the kind of like the hipster coffee shops. And there's this like, you know, thing here where it's like, there's like a guy selling like leather made goods that he made like from scratch and all that, you know what I mean? Like all the kind of artsy stuff. And I feel with this, it goes even more back to that, you know, because people are like at home building stuff and just being creative.
That's true. Yeah, I think we're gonna have to get back to that, like people being extra creative and I don't know, trading. We make jokes because we play Animal Crossing, and in that, like, we make a lot of trades, and we're like, man, I think that's gonna become real life. Where I'm like, hey, I got a pack of toilet paper, and I'll trade you that for some hand sanitizer or something. Like, we're taking it back to a very simple way of life, I think.
Yeah, but so okay, so Animal Crossing, I haven't started because I don't want to start something that I cannot get out of. I've already done that with League, so but I feel like that's another thing that, like, so people start playing Animal Crossing, but like you communicate still with other people, right? Like you talk more, you almost talk like, I feel like I always talk a lot to my family, but like with my friends, like it has more substance. That makes sense, because I don't see them a lot. So you talk, you catch up, like it's just different.
That's true. Yeah. I think that is the one good thing about Animal Crossing. It's so addictive, and it almost feels like a job sometimes because you have to log in on this day. You have to go to talk to this person on this day at this time. And like you have to keep your grass watered, and I'm like, I don't even want to water my own lawn. Like, so it's a lot of real work, but yeah, like the fact that when you can't get something on your island, you have to talk to your friends, you have to communicate, you have to go visit them to get it. And, it's kind of a cool, you know, lifestyle, adaptation that we might get close to. I don't know.
It's weird. Have you set your alarm yet to do something on Animal Crossing?
Yes. Now, once that's happened, I'm like, okay, I'm done for. Like, Sunday mornings, we get up to buy turnips.
And, oh, really? You're in the turnip trade? Okay. See, I don't know much, but so because it's from Japan, I talked to I read it before, but then Shinsuke explained it to me as well. So the Japanese word for turnips, I guess it's the same as the word for stock, or at least it's like super similar. So hence the turnip trading and the stock, and it's so, you know what I mean? So like, yeah, it's that's brilliant. Really interesting.
That is super brilliant. Now I understand. Yeah, they call it the stock market. that was very cute. And now I understand. Okay, that the words are similar. Huh. I was like, yeah, why turnips?
Yeah.
But now I know. Wow. And it's so addicting. It really is. Once you find like a really good deal, then you find yourself making like these really strange deals, like with these like seedy people you don't even know. And you're like scared, you know,
it almost feels screw like, you over. Yeah.
Yeah. You're scared to go screw you over. Like, you're like, is he lying? I don't know if he's for real. Meet me in this dark alley and yeah, I'll give you lots of money for your turnips. You're like, I don't know. Man, it's like, it's way too real. It really is. But right now when we don't have as much going on, it's fun.
See, I was like that with Zelda. And like Breath of the Wild when it first came out, and then Clash of Clans, where I literally like I set my alarm because I knew like, okay, my building is done at this time of the day, so I'm gonna you know, it was like I literally set my alarm. I was like, okay, now start the new building now, you know what I mean? So and then I saw how Animal Crossing is, and I'm like, man, I just know I'll be on that thing all the time, and I'm extremely competitive. So, you know, I can't just like play for fun because, you know.
It is relaxing though. I will say it never gets intense.
Okay.
You know, not at all. There's never a moment where you're like, oh, I got to beat this thing. I got to do it. It always feels very laid back. And that is what I like about it. It's a super relaxing game, calming game. When I stream it, it's super calm and chill. And I really do like it for that reason. It's like a unplug from all the intense stuff I play.
Maybe I should start. I just
but beware though.
I know.
It will take all of your life away.
Okay, so all my remaining life. So you would appreciate this because you stream as well, right? So I kind of like, because I mean, it's just like I started as a hobby, so I just said like whatever I make from it, I'll just reinvest it. So, you know, like to give my viewers the best experience. So like, I was like, I need a new camera. Like that was like the next step to it, right? For the past 5 days, I did a deep dive into, you know, mirrorless and DSLR and all those cameras and how to hook them up and everything, to the point where I was like, you know what? I just need to pull the plug. I just need to pull the trigger on something because I'm going way too deep. You know, and you know how it is with everything. Like, as soon as I made the decision, something new will come out. I just know it.
Absolutely.
And then, like, it got to a point where I ended up talking to one of our, like, digital guys, right? Mm-hmm. And he goes, like, well, let me go full nerd on you. So the frames, and I'm like, I know what the frames per second are. I actually know exactly what you're talking about because I went too deep on it. Like, everything, like, I'm just, like, super like that. Like, so with Zelda as well, like I'm just gonna go super deep. I'm gonna read up everything I can on it. I watch YouTube videos on where to find what and how to do this, and then
wow,
yeah, I'm okay, a nerd.
So you go deep, and I appreciate that. That was gonna be one of my questions. Is when was the last time you used like a walkthrough to get through a game? So is this something you do often?
So on Zelda, like I was just like, I wanted to find all the shrines, right? Of course. So, like, I actually beat the game. I found all the shrines. I did, like, all the quests, almost all the quests. I beat this first extension pack. They're just, like, that was the last big one I played on the Switch. That was, like, that kind of game. And after that, I played a lot of, like, FIFA, which, you know, you don't need a walkthrough for that. But still, like, even for, like, I play a lot of League. Even there, like I watch YouTube videos on how to improve and this and that, because I just want to be good at it. And especially like with Zelda, like, so like I can just spend hours mountain climbing and cooking and I'll be happy. But like, you need to experience the game, right? Like,
Right.
Want to make the most out of it, and especially if it's like a multiplayer game that you can play with friends and stuff. Like, I hate to lose, you know. I mean, I want to have fun. I want to have fun. Get me like if it's like so like you know, we play Uno and like what was the game we played? It was you, me, and Woodsy. We played the
Jackbox, the rapping Jackbox game.
Yeah. So like that stuff, like that's so much fun because it's just like because I feel like that's about the people you played with, right?
Yeah.
So like that's the kind of games I love, you know, where you just can have fun and relax. But as soon as it's like, okay, who's gonna be first? I'm like, sorry guys, like Chutes and Ladders is one of the worst, right?
Oh boy. I like that the rap game on the Jackbox, but I think when I first played it, I took it too seriously, and you don't win taking it seriously. You have to consider the people you play with, like you said, and the audience. And so whatever's going to get the reaction from the audience is what works. So you can be the technically best and it doesn't matter, you know? And now that I'm pulling it back and as I'm having this conversation with you, I'm like, wait, so it's kind of like wrestling, right? Yeah. Where like you can, yeah, it's like it doesn't matter what you do. It matters if you're entertaining. Yep. You know, like at the end of the day, it's like, okay, was that fun to watch
or not? Yeah.
And that's interesting.
But like, do you feel you have extra pressure? Because, because you know, you're the pro coming in, you know what I mean?
So yeah, like, everyone's like, oh, the rapper guy. Oh, he's going to clean your clock. And I'm like, wait, it's not working the way I thought it would work.
Well, because the game is not laid out like that, you know what I mean? Like,
no, it's about being silly and just having fun. Yeah. And I was completely thrown for a loop. I'm like, wait, what's going on? I'm not winning. What's happening?
We have to play that again, by the way.
We do. Oh man, you are a premier dad joke fan like myself. Yeah. And I used to teach elementary school, and that's where I think my dad joking skills got to be top notch. Have you heard any good ones lately?
At this time, I'm only telling because of the quarantine, I'm only telling inside jokes. That's my that's my go to one. You know why ants can't get the virus?
Why?
Because of their antibodies. That's a good ones. I feel like the topical ones are always, they're always good. But so there is certainly, you know, like Instagrams and stuff that have like the daily dad joke that I always go and look up because as Dolph Ziggler, our resident professional comedian in WWE would tell you, right? I'm a hack. I'm not the one that makes up the jokes and like tries to find, I just see one and I tell it because it's a dad joke and it makes me laugh. Right.
Yeah.
So on stream, my chat started just spamming it with dad jokes. And it's so hard to stay serious on the game because some of them are really, really so good, you know? So I actually, now, okay. So, and I'm also really good at like messing up my own super simple jokes.
Oh, no.
For example, okay. So I always knock when I open the refrigerator, just in case there's a salad dressing.
Oh.
Yeah, there's one. And then, so, okay, I don't want to mess this one up. It's one of my favorites. So I lost Dwayne Johnson's origami cutting tool. I can't believe I lost rock, paper, scissors. All right. See, they're so bad.
Yeah, that's pretty terrible. But in the best way, it's terribly good. It's a good one.
So okay. So here's my question to you, since you're a dad joke fan too. When you tell a joke, right, and everybody just goes and leaves the room, which that's exactly usually the sound Woods makes when I tell a joke, right? He just goes all right, and he just like has to leave, or like people just.
That's a win. I think when you get a groan, that's success.
It's a win. And then if somebody laughs and everybody goes, don't laugh, don't encourage him. Brody used to be back, you know, he would just scream the F word, like it just curse really loud and just leave the room. And that made me so happy. You don't know, you know what I mean? Like it's that like, yes, success.
Oh boy. Yeah, like, I think when you get the cringe, that's a win. I was sitting at a, I don't know, it was at a restaurant, mm-hmm. and a lady was telling a couple of bad jokes to her, maybe her son, and mm-hmm. And I just was overhearing it and just busting out laughing, and she's just like, I don't think it was that funny. I'm like, no, these are great. Keep going. She said, how do you catch a unique rabbit?
I don't know.
Unique up on it. So, what? Took me like a half a second, and then I just burst out laughing. And then she's like, well, how do you catch a tame rabbit? Tame way.
Oh, damn.
Oh, man. And I was just like, and my wife's like, those are terrible. And I'm like, I know. And yeah, she didn't understand.
I love it. In the tame way. Oh, God, that's so good.
So yeah, those are some free ones for you. Oh, boy. Okay.
I'll steal them. I'll be honest.
Yeah, please steal them. Steal them. That's the... that is the tradition of jokes,
right?
They're no good if they don't get stolen and used everywhere. So what is the game you think you spent the most amount of hours on?
League of Legends by far. I can actually probably, if I open it, I can tell you the exact number of hours that I already spent this year, but I think it's been over 300. And I'm still really bad at it. That's the worst
part. Hey, you're not good after that long?
Well, so I don't think so. I'm also like, when I stream, I'm trying to have fun, because so here's the problem. Every time I start to try hard, really hard, and lose, I get really mad. And if I get mad, I get quiet, and that's not fun to watch, as you know, the stream. So like, I'm just trying to have fun. We did a Valorant stream, which is like a new shooter game, mm-hmm. and it was like, who was it? It was me, Woods, Adam Cole, Breeze, and I think Chris Denker. We played, and it was like a Facebook thingy, and we just got smashed. Like, it was like ridiculous, because they put us against pros, and like, you know, we are not. So like, they were like, we've never seen you like that. Like, you just got so mad, because I just got quiet. I'm just like, like, you know, like death gripping my mouse. But I don't know. I just like, it's something fun to play, and I feel like, like, if you play with friends, it's even more fun.
Yeah, I don't mind being bad at a game if I'm playing with some friends and everyone's having fun. But I do understand that when I start concentrating and trying to get really, really good, then I'm quiet. And I realize that that's not an entertaining way to play. So when I'm playing a game like Mario and I'm dying a bunch and I'm like yelling at the screen, I'm like, no, I'm legit frustrated. But people are like, yeah, this is hilarious.
Yeah. Is that the worst?
I'm really like, I'm angry.
You're like really mad. And they're like, oh, this is funny. I'm like, no, it's not.
It's not funny. I'm not dying on purpose. This is making me mad.
Or did you even have that? Like, you get mad or you started to get frustrated. And then like somebody is like, no, you're doing great. You're doing great. And you're just like, no, I'm not doing great. I don't say that. Ah,
don't
like,
patronize me.
Exactly. And like, I know they just mean well, and I'm just over here like, and then like, you know, the room gets hot and you're just like, yeah, it's all good. It's all, yeah. I think everybody goes through the same when they play video games or games in general.
Oh, totally. I have, I've set up these channel points things now where now people can remind me to hydrate, which helps me a lot.
Oh, nice.
Last night, I was playing Contra, the old NES game.
Oh!
And I was trying to get through it with just 3 lives, and I've never done it without the 30-min code. So I actually did it, but it took a while. But I was saying, like, I need to add a command where people can tell me to, like, chill out and breathe, you know?
That's brilliant.
Like, hey, take a breath. Like, that should come up on my screen. Like, so-and-so wants you to take a breath, because I literally held my breath through some of the parts of that game because it's so frustrating.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I need those. Someone said we should also tell you to unclench at times. I'm like, yeah, probably, because I'm just sitting to, I'm just like, I got to do this. And it gets you so like wound up and so tight, because like some of the jumps and the shots and the moves, they're just like so precise that it'll just, like, the concentration I need will just turn me into a zombie.
Yeah. that's brilliant though with the channel points, you know, like the interaction.
Yeah, I do. I just want to give them something to do. I feel like, you know, something to look forward to. I think it's cool. I think you earn points every hour. That was a great idea from Twitch to do that, to give people something to do. Like now I can cooperate, or I can like kind of control the action.
Yeah, that's actually brilliant. I need because like the channel points, I just kind of like look at them, not as a throwaway, but like, mm-hmm. you know, there's like, oh, you can send messages like highlighted and stuff, but there's nothing really that I, you know.
Yeah, I looked up different like suggestions on fun things to do. One of them is jumping jacks. So if they get 10,000 points, they can make me do 10 jumping jacks. Oh. So I just stop the game. I'll get up, just do it real quick, or push ups or something. So that they're like way high up. So of course that person has to watch a lot to get
a lot. Smart.
Yeah, you gotta watch every day if you want me to do some push ups. You know, I had to think about it. Like, so what's it worth to let someone on the screen control you, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
What's it worth to you? So I was like, you should have to work hard to make me do something.
Exactly.
So what would you be doing if you hadn't found your way to pro wrestling? Like, where would you be today, June 2020? What would you be doing, you think?
Oh, I don't know. So before I started like full-time wrestling, I worked for Johnson & Johnson, actually. In Switzerland, and I loved that job. Like, I really like it. Was an office job, a desk job, like mm-hmm. 9 to 5, as you would say. But like, I loved it. It was awesome. So the job description was data file administrator, which is like sounds so boring. And if I would take it, like, was like, yeah, what you have to do is you have to key in like all the information about the products, like how much they weigh, the net weight, the selling price and the cost, you know, like all that stuff has to be in the system. So what you do is like you type in a bunch of stuff or you upload a bunch of stuff. So it sounds boring, but like the cool part is that I was in contact with like, I was like at that point, 7 or 8 different plants in 5 different countries because they had to ship. And in order to like get over the border, all that stuff had to be there. So like the whole day I would talk to different people, check in with all the factories, made sure everything was good. You know what I mean? So it was kind of, some days it was super hectic and some days it was kind of more chill. So it was a really cool job that like you interact with people. It was, you know what I mean? Like it was fun. And, you know, I got to use sunscreen and body lotion a lot because it was in the company shop. So it came in handy. I was the guy that's like, you know, went to like basketball practice. I'm like, hey guys, look at this. There's like body lotion, there's shaving cream, there's like face cream, you know, have at it, you know?
Oh, you just come in with like tons of bottles to give to everyone?
Because, and my friends started being like, hey, can you get me some? Because it, like, I'll be honest, I never used the face cream, right? But then like, I was like, oh, in the camp, and, like it was in the company shop for like $5. Oh, might as well try it. I'm like, ooh, how about that? You know, I haven't used one since, but. No, you have access to it. So, and it was cool because there was a lot of like it was. So one of the best parts, and I'm just rambling here, but one of the best times was when there was the football World Cup, right? And because I worked with people from all over the world, it was really cool, and from everywhere. So like, whenever a team or a country was playing. Like there was like a conference room that was set up, like that was just kind of like showing all the games. So everybody from those countries just went up there to watch. And so it was just like this very international, cool together feeling. So, and then you can, you know, for example, if I would have been sick of the job there, I could have transferred to somewhere else or, you know, done something different. So I think I would still be doing something like that, I guess.
Huh. Okay. I did not expect that, but I'm glad you liked the job. I mean,
right. I just liked interacting with different people, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it was a job that was, I was like on the second day or like after I was like through the trial, like not trial period, but the working period where the guy who was there before me like showed me everything. Like my boss was kind of like, hey, I'm here if you need me, if not. Like you just do you, and I give you like essentially permission. You know what I mean? Like you just try as hard as you can until you need me for some help, and then you come to me. So it was very cool because I was very independent. You know what I mean? So like as long as my job was done, I could like if I wanted to come in at 10, and work till 7, I can do that. Or if I wanted to come in at 7 and leave a little early, you know what I mean? So like, I was very, it was just a very cool atmosphere, and I feel like that's always important.
Nice.
You know, when you work, and yeah. So I don't know. Like, I guess I would still be doing something like that.
Okay. All right. What are you kind of nerding out on right now?
I feel like with this, like I'm nerded out on so much. So okay, we finished Westworld, and then we binged through the whole Last Kingdom, all of Vikings, and it's still like the second half of the last season is still to come soon.
Yeah.
And then Space Force just watched. It's funny, right?
It's good, yeah.
Okay. Ottoman, which was like a show on Netflix that was actually really good. It's a really interesting concept. They do like history, like with like actual historians talking, and then it's kind of like the movie that runs parallel to it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. And then we watched Rome as well in the same version, but Rome is like 6 years old, so there's a lot of weird stock footage, so I didn't like it as much. It's like before Netflix got the super big budget, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that, I'm trying to think, a bunch of like comedy stuff we watched. So yeah. I don't know if there's anything that's like weird. Like I just like, if somebody gives me a good recommendation, I'll try to watch it. You know?
Yeah.
What about you?
Okay. We've been lately, me and my wife have been watching 2020, like strange episodes about like murders.
Okay.
And then we started watching this show Snapped, where it's the same thing. It's like someone goes crazy and decides to kill someone, and we get into like why it happened.
Okay.
And we just got really addicted to it. I'm not usually into those things, but
okay.
We've been into that. We just watched Hollywood on Netflix. Just finished that yesterday. Really good. Okay. It's like a story about Hollywood in the 40s and how like change started happening, you know, with different actors and how they came up. It's really cool. And Space Force, I'm still on, haven't finished yet. And I just started F is for Family, the cartoon.
Okay.
It's really good.
I started that a little bit, but I didn't get through the first season. So I may have to give it another go.
Yeah, I'd say give it another go. It's pretty intense though, but it's good.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Bill Burr.
Yeah, me too. I try to watch anything he has a role in. So, yeah, it was really good.
Speaking of that, have you watched The King of Staten Island then?
No, is he in that too?
Yes, he is in that. Is it called The King of Staten Island, right? I think so, yeah.
So overall, how has the pandemic and quarantine affected your day-to-day schedule? Like what's the biggest changes you see in your like normal life now?
So like compared to when I was at home, like obviously work is completely different because I used to travel, you know, 4 days a week. Other than that, I just kind of found out that I guess my regular lifestyle is called quarantine. So, because when I'm home, I don't like to leave. Like I don't want to go out because I traveled so much. And now like I got a home gym and it's very simple, but I love it. And then I, you know. Getting groceries delivered is like a luxury. So like, so continue to do that. And then like, I think I just, you know, when like some of our friends come to town, we go have coffee or they come over. But other than that, I just, you know, I started streaming more, you know, because I feel like that's a cool way to still connect and have some fun.
Absolutely. I've seen a lot of guys streaming, which is, I think, a great way to connect and keep in touch and you get to play some games. For me, it's playing a lot of backlog games that you maybe hadn't gotten the chance to get to. And I look forward to that. I'm like, oh, I've been wanting to play this anyway. So gives me time to do that and to connect with folks. So streaming is, I think, a great thing. And now it's recently become like a way of life for a lot of people where they're able to do it as a full-time gig, which used to be ridiculous to me years ago. I was like, there's no way that anybody will want to watch me play a video game.
Well, and I think then, it's that whole experience of like because it's the same with like podcasts, right?
Yeah.
Which I thought is interesting because, so when I was growing up, like in, I just listened to radio a lot, but the radio is different, like in Switzerland, in Europe in general, I feel like, but Switzerland, that's just what I know, but it's because it's like the main radio stations were like state owned for the longest time. So like, there was always like, so like every Sunday morning, there was like a talk show with like a guest on where it's just, you know, like, and then they have like interview, like on like, a, I don't know, Monday, they would have like interview shows. And then like Tuesday, there would be like the rock special. And then Wednesday would be another, like a world music, whatever. You know what I mean? So like,
yeah,
just like, if you listen to radio, like, okay, so they, and just the other day when I was driving to work here in Orlando, there was, they went into a deep dive on the Fugees. And it was just like explaining that and going behind the music and stuff. And it was like one of those. And I'm like, oh, that's brilliant. It's kind of like a podcast, but it's on the radio. So like, I'm really happy that everybody is like catching up with the whole podcasting thing, because I feel like, you know, like you learn more about people. And I feel it's the same way with the streaming, you know, like now I can just watch the guy I like, you know what I mean? Like see how he lives, kind of.
Okay. I need to find that, whatever that Fugees, a show is, because that sounds interesting.
It's all in German. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. That was like, I was listening, I'm like, man, like, you know, it was like from their, like, I think it was their second studio album that was like, had all the big hits on it. And it was just,
wow,
like,
yep.
I was just like, man. And then that the other day, All Good, De La Soul featuring Chaka Khan. You know what I'm talking about? Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
That, okay. And it's like, and that was kind of like, I mean, I'm not, yeah, it wasn't like a big hit, yep, but I remember it. Yeah.
It's just like, I was like driving and that's so, it's like weird songs come on, I feel like on the radio. And I was just like, mm-hmm, oh my God, this, it brings me back to like my childhood. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And I was just like, and then like, I start singing it. And I'm like, come on guys, anybody? And they're like, yeah, it must be big in Europe. And I'm like, it's just like, it was like, there was so many songs and stuff that I just know, like, it's so interesting to me that like, and even nowadays, like now, again, like I feel like I'm missing out on music listening a lot when I'm at home in quarantine. Actually, that's a big difference, yeah, because when I travel, I just have Spotify on the whole time, right? Like,
right.
And I listen to like, you know, the Swiss and the German, like top 100 charts. Okay. And then like, it's really interesting to see the crossover of songs that are popular here on the radio or, you know, in general, and then they make it to Europe, and which ones are popular in Europe and then come over here, and which ones never cross, you know? So like, I can just imagine before the internet how that was, because like, for example, like I think Coolio with like Gangsta's Paradise and stuff, like he was huge in Europe, while over here I think he was just kind of, I don't know, there's just different things like that just like fascinate me.
Yeah, I've heard from a lot of artists, even myself included, like when I tour Europe, I'll notice different songs are trending there, you know, yep, and they're like, oh, play this one. And I'm like, but I never play that, you know, and that's just how it goes sometimes. And a lot of artists in America mentioned that, like, oh, this song didn't do anything here, but it got huge in Europe. So now I tour Europe every year. And so, yeah, that happens a lot with particularly like underground kind of mm-hmm artists. Or who haven't quite broken through, they can break through in a whole, you know, other market sometimes, and never really get that in the U.S. It's interesting.
I think that's great. Like if you have your like you know your songs and your fans in Europe, like mm-hmm people can make a career from that. Like you know what I mean? Like it's like,
yeah.
And I think that's just so cool that now it's such a small, like you know what I mean? Like you kind of like find your audience. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really a great time for that, I think, for creating, because there's a whole world that can hear you with a click of a button.
Yeah.
And so that access just creates like limitless possibilities that someone in Australia can hear me here and enjoy my music and share it with friends. And it's just a wild thought, you know, to be able to travel and do this. So
I have a question for you. Sorry, if you don't mind.
Oh, I don't mind.
Okay, so I love music, and like, so for you, is it like, how is it that, you know, like for example, like you just said, like you wrote a song, right? And then there's somebody in Australia or Europe or wherever in the world that can completely relate to that. But like, that is from a completely, let's say, different walk of life, different country, different everything. You know what I mean? Like, that's, to me, that was always really cool and like just fascinating. You know what I mean?
It's insane. Yeah, really, it blows my mind to think that, you know, I've had conversations with fans in like France and other places I've gone, and they'll be like, that song you did about this, I totally got that. And I'm like, wait, how? You know? You know, I wrote that in my, you know, in my mom's, you know, house in the bedroom or in the basement, you know? And yeah, like some concepts and themes are just relatable worldwide, you know? And I think just like, especially with me, I write a lot about being different, you know, and being a nerd or growing up, you know, thinking things have to be one way and then kind of being able to turn the corner and realize that you can be anything you want. And I think, you know, that's a universal theme that I think anybody can pick up on and be like, yeah, I didn't want to do the thing that my parents told me to do either, you know? And, you know, so yeah, that's like a worldwide thing, I would imagine, you know? So, there's a old Digital Underground song when Tupac, I think it's Tupac's first rap. It's a song called Same Song. And the chorus is all around the world. It's the same song. And I was like, yeah, it kind of is, you know, like to say like, you know, it's like we all have the same struggles. So you find out that you are a lot like someone on the other side of the world. And sometimes it's music that brings you together, you know? So it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. I get emotional thinking about it sometimes. Oh, thanks for that question.
No, it is great because it's like, I have when I first got on the road with WWE, I got Spotify because it was like, okay, I'm making, you know, making money. I can actually get this, you know? So, and I have like, back then it was called The Start. You know, if you like a song, you star it. Now, and so it's still called my Start playlist, and it has songs from the past 8 years that I just, every time I hear a song that I like, I chuck it in there. So like, I can pretty much go through the songs and tell you where I heard it, when I heard it, what my mental state was. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's crazy. It's just like, or a song comes on and you're like, man, I remember. And just like, it's like, it's like a memory bank. You know what I mean?
Power of music, man.
Yes.
It's powerful. Yes. It brings you back to a different time. You know, you can like, oh, I was doing this at that time. Or I was, I'm writing a book right now. And a lot of it is about songs that touched me at a particular moment, either songs or video games. And how they bring back memories to me. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, the first time I heard this Biggie song, I was going to my high school prom, you know, or things like that. So I could still relate them to different moments. And I thought that would be a cool idea or concept for a book. But
that's brilliant.
I don't know who will want to read it, but maybe.
I do. I was just about to say, let me know when it's done. I want to get one. We'll get the first copy.
I'm on a Fuji's chapter now, which is why I was interested when you said that.
Oh, yeah.
But okay, I got a couple wrestling questions and then I'm going to let you
please.
Go. All right. So the team with Sheamus, I think, is one of the greatest teams ever.
Oh, thank
the bar.
You.
How early on in the process was it planned for you guys to become a team and stay together so long? Like, I remember the feud, the best of seven, all that. Did you guys know way back then or no?
It wasn't. That's the beauty. So I always say that's the beauty of the team with me and Sheamus. So we were both not really doing anything, you know. I feel like I've done that a lot. But it was like, we both were not doing anything. And they were just like, all right. We always had good chemistry when we wrestle each other, though. So, and it was literally, they were like, okay, guys, it was like we wrestled on Raw and then we wrestled on SmackDown. And then they were like, okay, we're going to do a best of seven series. And it just starts on the pre-show of, I think it was SummerSlam. And we were like, we just wrestled twice, but I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, we already did, but we're like, all right. And then we kind of had a chip on our shoulders because we were like, all right, like we're only on the kickoff show. So let's, you know, let's go. And then we just did the best of seven. And then I had the idea to like, because I wanted it to end on a pay-per-view. So I had the idea to, or we had the idea to have a match recorded on a live event. And it was on like one of those crazy tours where we did London. I want to say it was London, Manila, Shanghai, but like it was something crazy like that, where we just went like around the world in 3 days, essentially. And I thought it would have been cool to record one of the matches in London because we wrestle each other on live events and have it like footage sent back to TV of like, hey, you know, like one of the best of seven matches was on a live event, and it mattered because I feel like some, you know what I mean? Like it's just something cool and different. And then like they were like, okay, it's going to end in a draw. You know, we were like, okay. And then you guys got a team. And it was just kind of like, I mean, if that was the plan all along, nobody told us about it. You know, we just thought like, and then we were a team. And that was kind of like, that was just after I was a little bit after I stopped teaming with Tyson Kidd, you know? So I was kind of like, I don't want to be another team. You know, I just did that. But then like the whole relationship of me and Sheamus being essentially from, you know, like enemies. We were not enemies in real life. We were just like, you know, coworkers, becoming best friends. You all saw that on television, essentially. So like every week where like the chemistry got better and we got better, and like even the bickering, like we still do that. Like, you know what I mean? Just, it's like we are like brothers like that. You know, like we bicker, we make fun of each other, and somebody else comes in and you're like, hey, leave him alone. They're like, yeah, only I can do it. You know, so it's I feel like that's why we connected with the crowd so much, is because they can see us grow and become a team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it absolutely worked. People felt it and saw it like a real.
It was real.
Real kinship. You
can,
yeah.
You can. It's the same. Like with, I feel like with music, like if you write a song about something that you feel, like I can feel it listening. But if you just do something because somebody told you. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it needs to be authentic.
Yeah, that's the truth. All right. What is the biggest myth about pro wrestling that you can shoot down? Is there a myth or a thing you hear that people always say and you're like,
nah, I mean, like, so like people always say it's fake, which is, I guess, obviously the thing. And like, just to explain, like it's predetermined, but what we do is still very real, you know what I mean? Like, and we do it, well, we used to 4 times a week. Now it's, you know, it's a little bit different with the pandemic, but it's definitely way more physical and way more demanding than people think. But again, like I read this quote once and was like, you know, people who believe, and people who don't, they never will. So it's like, I just invite the people who doubt it or think it's ridiculous to just come to a live event. And usually that's when they change their minds once they see it live, you know. So, but, you know, I'm also not like one of those vigilant, like, you have to. I'm so tough. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to fight.
Right. I'm going to fight you.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I'm like, you know.
Let me show you how fake it is. Come
like,
here.
Like, if it's not your cup of tea, then it's not your cup of tea. There's plenty of people that is. So just, you know. Have a good time.
All right. So talking about the physicality and the realness of it, what's the most pain you've ever felt in the ring?
Oh, man. When I tore my rotator cuff, that was pretty, like my whole arm went numb. And I was like, I can't move my arm. This is kind of weird. And then the feeling came back. My teeth, I think that's the most obvious that people always bring up. There's a lot of like weird, you know, it's just like bumps and bruises that you just have. Like the other day, I just like, it was like falling out of the ring. I just gave myself a big, what is it called? Like a dead leg. You know what I mean? Like, or I don't know what the English word is, but yeah. So it's just like in my leg was just like, but like other than that, like I think my teeth was maybe the worst looking back, but.
That was pretty gnarly. I remember seeing that and being like, oh my God. And, I think that was when people realized like, okay, so you gotta be pretty tough to do this because like you have to keep going. You can't just be like, all right, time out. Swap me out. Like,
yeah. Well, Sheamus was yelling at me, dude. You're like, he was like, tag me. And I'm like, no, I'm all right. I'm all right. I can finish, you know, I can finish my stuff here.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Okay. So what is the best coffee in the world?
Oh man. Almost impossible to answer because, you know, I was able to travel the world and try the coffee all over the place. And man, there's some good coffee out there. Right now, I'm drinking some tremendous coffee at home. Because
what kind are you into now?
Right now, I ordered some coffee of a place called Wake Up Iowa. But there's also I think it's called King's Road Coffee in Staten Island that I just ordered a bunch from. I just like figured I keep the tradition of going to local small coffee shops by just randomly ordering coffee beans from places from around the US, trying to support them that way. I just think like everybody that likes coffee in their hometown, home village, whatever, there are some local coffee shops. Just support them, go to them. They make great coffee.
Absolutely. I try to do the same with like local restaurants, try to keep it local and if I can. So what is your favorite meal at your favorite restaurant? Like the go-to?
Oh, breakfast. When I'm on the road, I bring my own food, but breakfast, I always find a local breakfast spot. And man, that's like you said, like local, you know, farm fresh eggs. Oh, oh.
I just woke up craving a English breakfast yesterday. Oh. I was just like, I've never like tried to make it at home, but I think I might just do that because
I think you should. I think you should.
Because I think like try it.
Because like you know, like now in this whole like pandemic, like I feel like you're more at home. Like I started cooking more at home, and it's just like a skill that not many people have anymore, I guess. And it's fun, like making your own food and eating it, and you're like, I made that. Like, there's just something about it.
It is fun. My wife and I, we cooked last night, and it felt really good to do, you know? Like, when you're doing it together, you're like, we made this together, you know? It's like, we made this. It feels great. It's a real rewarding thing. All right, so what is left to accomplish for you personally and professionally? Do you set a goal like, hey, I want to be able to do this by then, or this by then, or nah?
Nah. I mean, there's certain goals, of course, but I feel that's just now. My goal is always to be a little bit better than I was yesterday, you know, to just improve a little bit every day. And it may sound silly, but like, I feel like that's, you know, I know I make mistakes. I know I make mistakes, but like, you want to get better. Okay, I don't do this tomorrow. I learned this today. I want to apply it. You know what I mean? Like just like little things like that. And then good things will hopefully happen. Long-term goals, of course, you know, there's the like professional stuff that you want to win championships or, you know, like do this and that. But in the end, effective, what's important to me is like just get a little bit better every day.
Nice. And that's where it starts. I think if you focus on yourself and the things you can control,
Exactly.
It's like, all right, I'm going to be a better person and I can definitely control that each day. Do things better, move a little faster, listen to my wife more. I don't know.
Be positive, you know.
Like, be positive. Yeah. Things you can control. Your skill set, I think is one as a wrestler that like is insane. It seems like you can do everything. But is there any person out there or any move you've seen where you're like, "Oh, I wish I could do that." Like I just can't do that.
Oh yeah, all the time. You know, like I love watching wrestling and I love watching old wrestling, and it's just like certain things only work because a certain guy does it. Like for example, like Fit Finlay can do stuff that looks good and looks amazing when Fit Finlay does it. If anybody else tries to do it, it's just like, you know. And I feel like that's how a lot of the guys are with their trademark stuff. Like, I don't know, like Randy Orton. Randy Orton is just like, he moves captivating, right? And it's awesome. If people try to emulate it, it's just like, you know, not quite.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's so many, you know, like, you know, Japanese, Mexican, whatever wrestlers are out there. Like, it's just, it's awesome. It's fun to watch, you know? And I feel that's what makes wrestling awesome, is there's something for everybody and everybody's unique in their own way. So, you know, there's a lot of people that I admire that I work with, you know?
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay. So I think that is everything, but let the people know that might be listening how to find you on the internet.
On Twitter and Instagram at WWE Cesaro, and on Twitch on Claudio's Cafe. I think that's it.
Very simple. That's easy. All right, thank you so much. We are out of here.